Chapter 2. Mr. Canis stomped across the room, pushed the girls aside, and locked the window. The little lights outside flew around, bounced off the glass several times, and buzzed, as if in protest. A moment later they were gone, and the whistling sound faded away. Mr. Canis turned and stood over Sabrina. "You are never to let anyone or anything inside this house," he said in a voice as low and scratchy as an angry dog's. "It was just some lightning bugs," said Sabrina. Her face was hot and red with shock. Who was this man to think he could tell her what to do? "No one comes into this house. Do you understand what I have just asked of you?" Mr. Canis said. The girls nodded. "Very well. Good night." He stalked out of the room, closing the door behind him. Sabrina stood dumbfounded, trying to comprehend what had just happened.
"What was that all about?" Daphne whispered,
but Sabrina said nothing. She didn't want her sister to hear the fear in her voice. Since her parents had run off, Sabrina had had to be the tough one. Her little sister needed to know there was someone strong by her side, even if it meant Sabrina had to pretend sometimes. There was a knock on the door, and Mrs. Grimm entered the room.
"It's been a long day, hasn't it?"
"Mr. Canis yelled at us," Daphne cried.
"I heard," the old woman said as she sat down on the bed. "Please don't be too upset by Mr. Canis. He can be a little grouchy from time to time, but he has your best interests at heart. Believe me, Lieblings, we are both very happy to have you here. But there are a few rules you have to follow," she said, pausing as she looked into Sabrina's face. "And I know that what I tell you might not make a lot of sense, but the rules are in place for a reason. First, never let anyone or anything into this house without asking Mr. Canis or me if it is okay," she said. Her tone was stern and serious, and no longer that of the sweet, loving old lady with the funky spaghetti. Mrs. Grimm took the girl's hands in her own. "Second, there is a room down the hall that is locked. It's locked for a reason, and I ask that you stay away from it for the time being. You might hear some unusual noises coming from inside, but just ignore them. Do you understand?" she asked.
The girls nodded.
"As for the rest of the house, feel free to explore. You'll notice there are plenty of books to keep you occupied."
"Really?
Books? I didn't notice," Sabrina said sarcastically. "If worse comes to worst, we can always dig out that old TV," Mrs. Grimm continued, as if Sabrina hadn't spoken.
She got up from the bed and crossed to the door. She turned to smile at them one last time.
"Who wants pancakes in the morning?" Daphne's face lit up. "I do. Are you warm enough? Do you need anything to sleep in?"
The little girl opened one of the suitcases and pulled out two extra-large T-shirts that read, "Bermuda is for lovers."
"No, we have these," she said.
"Very good," Mrs. Grimm said.
"Good night. Don't let the bedbugs bite."
"She's nice," said Daphne when the old lady was gone. Sabrina clenched her fists.
"It's all an act. That woman is hiding something, and we aren't sticking around to find out what it is. Get some sleep. We're running away. Tonight."
Sabrina lay in bed, staring at the ceiling, listening to her hungry belly grumble and planning their getaway. With a little luck, she and Daphne could hide in a neighbor's garage for a couple of days and then hitchhike back to New York City. After that, she didn't know. In the past, they had just gone back to the orphanage, but this time, Ms. Smert might act on her threat to skin them alive. The next place she sent them would be a million times worse. The girls were on their own now.
"We have to go," Sabrina whispered to her sister when she was sure the rest of the house was asleep.
Daphne sat up and rubbed her eyes but said nothing. Her heartbroken face said it all.
"Why is she acting like such a baby?"
Sabrina wondered. Running away wasn't exactly a new experience for the two of them. The sisters Grimm had pulled off several daring escapes from foster parents in the last year and a half.
They had tied bedsheets together and climbed out of the Mercer's window one night, feeding their pit bull, Diablo, meatballs, stuffed with cayenne pepper to keep him busy. And after the Johnsons had ordered pizza, the girls had slipped into the back seat of the delivery boy's car and were miles away before he even noticed them. Mrs. Grimm was no different than any of the other lunatics they had run away from. Eventually, Daphne would understand. When they were dressed and packed, Sabrina slowly opened the door and looked out into the hallway. It was empty, and as the two girls crept out with their tiny suitcases, she used her skills to the fullest. They tiptoed down the stairs, being careful to step close to the wall to avoid making them creak. At the bottom, Sabrina slowly opened the closet door so the latch wouldn't click and the stack of books inside wouldn't fall over and wake the house. She snatched their coats, and the girls put them on, then walked to the front door. Sabrina was just thinking that this was the easiest escape they had ever made when she tried to turn the knob. The door was locked. When she looked closely, she noticed something unusual that she had not noticed before. "There's a keyhole on this side, too," she said. They were locked in. "We have to find another way out." The girls crept through the house, doing their best to avoid knocking over any books. They tried all the windows, only to discover each had been nailed shut. They found a back door off the kitchen, but it, too, had a lock on the inside. "Let's go back to bed," said Daphne. "We have to get her keys," said Sabrina. The little girl cocked an eyebrow. "How are we going to do that? She has them." "You'll see," Sabrina whispered. The sisters found their way back up the stairs to Mrs. Grimm's room. The door was shut tight, but Sabrina was happy to find there were no locks on it. She slowly turned the knob and it swung open. The old woman's room was scary at night. The tribal masks they had seen after dinner were even creepier in the dark, and the swords mounted on the wall flashed a ghostly light around the room. Mrs. Grimm was asleep in her bed, unaware of their presence and snoring loudly. Daphne had the same annoying habit. "Where are they?" Daphne said, only to have Sabrina's hand clamp over her mouth. "Keep quiet," Sabrina whispered. The old woman turned in bed but stayed asleep. Sabrina scanned the room and spied the keys glinting in the moonlight on a table on the far side of the bed. She looked at Daphne, pointed to herself with her free hand, and then pointed to the keys. Daphne nodded, and Sabrina let go of her mouth. Sabrina took a small step forward to test for creaky floorboards. "This is going to be easy," she thought. But as her confidence was building, she noticed that Daphne had taken an interest in one of the masks on the wall. The little girl took it off its nail and held it against her face. "Don't do that," Sabrina whispered. "Why not?" "Put it back now." The little girl frowned and placed it back on its nail. "There, are you happy?" she whispered. A split second later, the mask fell off the wall, landed with a loud clunk, and rolled toward the bed. Both girls dove to the floor as Mrs. Grimm sat up. "Who's there?" she asked. "Oh, it's you. What are you doing down there?" Sabrina was sure they had been caught, but the old woman leaned over, picked up the mask, and set it on the nightstand. "I'll have Mr. Canis give you a new nail tomorrow." Then she fell back onto her pillow, and within minutes was snoring as loudly as ever. "You did that on purpose," Sabrina seethed. "Whatever," Daphne whispered, and rolled her eyes. Sabrina scowled. Was her little sister trying to sabotage their escape? Sabrina crept around the bed to the table, picked up the keys, and then tiptoed back across the room and into the hallway with her sister behind her. Downstairs, she quietly went to work on the front door lock. There were so many keys, it took a long time to find the right one, but eventually she heard a loud thunk. The girls waited for several moments, sure that someone had heard. But when no sound came from upstairs, they scurried outside. "Goodbye, dollhouse," Daphne said sadly as she ran her hand lovingly across the door.
"We'll go through the woods. We don't want anyone to see us on the road and call the police,"
Sabrina said, grabbing her sister's hand and leading her around to the back of the house. The girls looked into the dark forest in front of them. Crooked limbs twisted and turned in painful directions. Sabrina had the sense that the trees were horrible, mutated guardians, threatening anyone who stepped onto their land. A cold wind whipped through the branches, bending some of the smaller trees over and making a breathy moan. Sabrina knew it was just her overactive imagination, but the woods seemed to be alive and reaching out for them. Behind them, the girls heard a surprised yelp, and Elvis suddenly appeared. He trotted over and planted himself between them and the trees. His happy face was now serious.
"Go away, Elvis," Sabrina commanded, but the dog refused. "See, he doesn't think we should go either," said Daphne, as she wrapped her arms around the big dog and kissed him on the mouth.
But Sabrina had made up her mind. She pulled her sister away and into the forest, with Elvis trotting after them. Inside the trees, everything was deadly still. There were no scurrying animals, rustling branches, or snapping twigs. Even the whistling breeze had faded away. It was as if someone had turned the volume down on the world. Suddenly, a high-pitched note filled the air. It seemed to come from deep inside the woods.
"What was that?" Daphne said.
Sabrina shrugged.
"Probably the wind."
Elvis whined loudly. Then he rushed to Sabrina and clamped his jaw onto her coat sleeve, trying to yank her back toward the house. She pulled away. The girls hurried on with the dog close behind, barking warnings.
"Just ignore him. He'll go back when he gets bored," Sabrina said to herself as something zipped past her eye.
She turned to get a better look and saw it was a firefly, just like the ones that had been outside their window earlier that night.
"Look, Daphne, here's the big, menacing invader Mr. Skin and Bones was afraid would get into the house,"
Sabrina laughed. The little bug fluttered around her head and then circled her body.
"Pretty," Daphne said, only to find that she had her own little bug floating nearby. "I've got one, too."
Elvis let out a very low growl.
"What's the matter, buddy?"
Daphne said as she scratched the dog's ears. This did nothing to soothe Elvis. The Great Dane howled menacingly and lunged at the lights with snapping teeth.
"Hush up," Sabrina ordered,
but the dog wouldn't stop. He was going to wake Mrs. Grimm and Mr. Canis if he didn't calm down.
"Sabrina," Daphne said.
The nervousness in the little girl's voice pulled Sabrina's attention away from the dog. Daphne had her hand over her nose, but what startled Sabrina was the fear in the little girl's eyes. She had seen the same look the morning after their parents disappeared, when they had woken up in their parents' bed alone.
"What's wrong?" Sabrina asked. "It just bit me," Daphne said as she removed her hand from her nose. It was covered in blood.
Sabrina was shocked. Lightning bugs didn't bite. At least no lightning bugs she had ever heard about. And at that moment, she felt a sting that brought blood to the top of her hand.
"Ouch!"
Daphne cried out.
"I got bit again!"
Blood trickled down her earlobe. Sabrina rushed over and wiped her sister's ear with her sleeve. The two bugs became 10, and then 100, and then a swarm that circled the girls, thousands of angry little lights zipping back and forth, diving at their heads and arms and lighting up the ugly trees around them. Elvis growled at the bugs, but there was little he could do.
"Cover your face with your hands and run!" Sabrina shouted.
The two girls ran as fast as they could, with Elvis at their heels. Sabrina looked back, hoping the bugs weren't following, only to see the swarm close behind and gaining. In seconds, they were stinging the girls again. Daphne cried out and tripped over a tree root. She curled into a ball and tried to hide any exposed skin. Elvis leaped on top of the little girl, doing his best to cover her as the bugs dived, stinging her uncovered hands and legs. Sabrina had to do something. Elvis couldn't protect Daphne. She waved her hands and screamed at the bugs, and they instantly darted in her direction. She turned to run, but before she could take even a step, she slammed into something and fell to the ground. It was Mrs. Grimm.
"It's okay, Liebling," she said.
"We have to run, Mrs. Grimm," Sabrina cried.
But the old woman stood calmly, as if she was daring the bugs to come closer. When the swarm was nearly on top of them, the old woman raised her hand to her mouth and blew a soft blue dust into the air. Many of the bugs froze in mid-flight, falling to the ground like snowflakes. The blue mist took out half of their numbers. The rest regrouped and began to circle the old woman again.
"I have a whole house full of this," Mrs. Grimm shouted.
Incredibly, the bugs seemed to weigh their options, and in one mass they darted deep into the woods and disappeared.
"That wasn't very nice,"
Mrs. Grimm shouted into the forest. She turned back to Sabrina and extended her hand. "I'll need your help getting Daphne into the house." Sabrina was sure the old woman would be furious with them. There was no telling if her craziness could extend to violence. Who could tell what a woman who had swords hanging over her bed was capable of? But Mrs. Grimm didn't seem angry at all. In fact, she looked genuinely concerned. She asked Sabrina to undress her sister while the old woman rushed into the bathroom and returned with a bottle of calamine lotion and some cotton balls. She applied the lotion to Daphne's stings and tucked the little girl into bed.
"She'll be fine in the morning. Maybe itchy, but fine," Mrs. Grimm said as she handed the calamine lotion to Sabrina.
"Pixies are harmless, unless you are overwhelmed by them."
"Did you just say pixies?"
Sabrina asked, unsure if the old woman was joking. Mrs. Grimm wrapped her arms around her and gave her a big hug.
"Liebling, it's okay now. You can stop crying."
Sabrina wiped her face and felt the tears on her hand. She hadn't known she was crying. In the morning, Sabrina was as hungry as she had ever been, but she was still not going to eat. She'd already looked like a crybaby in front of the old lady. She wasn't about to give up any more ground. By the time the girls heard Mrs. Grimm calling them for breakfast, Sabrina had spent 20 minutes trying to explain her philosophy to her sister.
"You can stay up here if you want, but I'm starving," said Daphne.
The idea of skipping a meal was beyond the little girl's imagination.
"We're not eating that woman's food," Sabrina said, her stomach growling. "We can't let her think she's breaking us down. We have to stay strong."
"I have an idea," Daphne said. "Why don't we eat breakfast, eat her cookies, play with Elvis, and enjoy the bed? She'll think she's won us over, and then one day, when she least expects it, we'll be gone."
Sabrina thought about her sister's plan. She had to admit it was pretty good. She just wished Daphne hadn't sounded so sarcastic when she said it. The girls got dressed and walked tentatively into the hallway. As they approached the stairs, Sabrina heard something coming from the locked room across from Mrs. Grimm's. It sounded like a voice, but she couldn't be sure. She put her head to the door, and the noise stopped.
"Did you hear someone talking in there?"
Sabrina asked her sister.
"It was my belly. It's screaming for breakfast."
Daphne grabbed Sabrina's hand and dragged her downstairs to the dining room. Much to Sabrina's relief, creepy Mr. Canis was nowhere to be seen. After several moments, Mrs. Grimm came out of the kitchen with a big plate of pancakes.
"I hope everyone likes flapjacks," she sang.
"Yum!"
Daphne cheered as the old woman stacked three on her plate, along with a couple of sausage links, then turned to serve Sabrina, whose mouth was watering. Sabrina hadn't had pancakes since her parents disappeared. Her empty belly was telling her to seriously consider Daphne's plan.
"Hold on, Lieblings, I forgot the syrup,"
Mrs. Grimm said, rushing back into the kitchen. As soon as she was gone, Daphne looked underneath her pancakes, as if she were expecting a buried surprise.
"They're just pancakes," she said.
"You sound disappointed,"
Mrs. Grimm said, laughing, as she returned with a large gravy boat. Well, after last night's spaghetti, I thought maybe you cooked like that all the time, Daphne said wistfully.
Oh, Liebling, I do.
The old woman tilted the gravy boat over Daphne's pancakes, and a sticky, bright pink liquid bubbled out. To Sabrina, it looked like gelatin that hadn't had time to set. When Daphne saw it, her eyes grew as wide as the pancakes on her plate.
What's that? She cried.
Try it, Mrs. Grimm said with a grin. Naturally, Daphne dug in, greedily wolfing down bite after bite.
It's delicious, she exclaimed with a mouthful of food. It's a special recipe. It has marigolds in it.
Mrs. Grimm proudly poured it onto Sabrina's pancakes before the girl had a chance to refuse. Sabrina looked down at the funky, fizzing sauce. It smelled faintly of peanut butter and mothballs, and Sabrina's stomach did a flip-flop in protest. She dropped her fork and pushed her plate away. Suddenly, there was a pounding from upstairs.
So, perhaps we should discuss last night's excitement, said Mrs. Grimm, as she sat down at the table and tucked a napkin into the front of her bright green dress. She gazed across at Sabrina and arched a questioning eyebrow.
It wasn't my idea, Daphne said. Sabrina scowled at this betrayal.
Well, no harm done. No broken bones or anything, the old woman said.
Granny, you have some mean bugs in your yard, Daphne said, as she poured more of the syrup on her breakfast.
I know, Liebling. They sure are mean.
What is that hammering? Asked Sabrina.
Mr. Canis is nailing your windows shut, Mrs. Grimm said as she took a bite of her breakfast.
What? The girls said in shocked unison.
I can't take any chances that something could get into the house, or someone might try to get out, the old woman replied over the loud banging.
So, we're your prisoners? Sabrina cried.
Oh, you're just like your opa, Mrs. Grimm laughed. What a flair for the dramatic. Let's put it behind us. Today is a new day with a new adventure. This morning I received a call. There's been an incident that requires our attention. How exciting. You two haven't even been here a full day yet, and already we're in the thick of it.
In the thick of what? Daphne asked, as she placed a fat pat of green butter on her second stack of pancakes.
You'll see.
The old woman got up from her chair, went into the living room, and came back with several shopping bags. She placed them next to the table.
Mr. Canis went to the store to buy you some clothing. Just a couple of things to tide you over until we can go shopping.
Sabrina looked in the bag. Inside were some of the strangest clothes she had ever seen. There were two pairs of bright blue pants that had little hearts and balloons sewn onto them. There were two identical sweatshirts that were as awful as the pants, bright orange with a monkey in a tree on the front. Underneath the monkey were printed the words, "Hang in there."
You expect us to wear these? Sabrina moaned.
Oh, I love them, Daphne said, pulling the orange monkey sweatshirt out and hugging it like a new doll. After breakfast, the girls got dressed and looked at their new outfits in the bedroom mirror. Daphne, of course, thought her crazy outfit was the best she had ever had and strutted around like a giddy fashion model. Sabrina, on the other hand, was sure Mr. Canis was trying to punish them for attempting to run away.
Hurry, girls, we have to get going, Granny called.
I feel like a movie star, Daphne said as the girls hurried downstairs.
You look like a mental patient, Sabrina remarked.
The sisters stood by the door, waiting for the old woman to collect her things. Mrs. Grimm rushed around the house, grabbing books off of shelves and from underneath the couch, creating a tornado of dust that followed her from room to room. When she had collected as many as she could carry, she handed them to Sabrina.
Almost ready, she sang as she rushed up the stairs.
Sabrina looked down at the top book. It was entitled Fables and Folklore, the Complete Handbook. Before she could question the book's purpose, she heard the old woman pull out her keys and unlock the mysterious door upstairs.
She's going into her secret room,
Sabrina whispered to her sister. Daphne's eyes widened, and she bit the palm of her hand. For some reason, Daphne did this whenever she was overly excited, and though it embarrassed Sabrina, she let it pass. If she tried to curb all of Daphne's odd little quirks, she would never get any sleep.
"I wonder what's in there," Daphne whispered back. "That's probably where she keeps the bodies of all the other kids she's stolen from the orphanage."
Daphne stuck out her tongue and gave her sister a raspberry. Sabrina had to admit she was curious about the room. Whenever she was told she couldn't do something, Sabrina found it was all she could think about doing. But the great thing about rules was that you could break them and drive adults crazy.
"Do you hear that?" Daphne asked. "Yeah, she's talking to someone," Sabrina replied. "Probably Mr. Canis."
Sabrina strained to hear the conversation, but before she could make out anything, she heard Mrs. Grimm leave the room, lock the door, and head back down the stairs.
"Ladies, we're off," she said, as she ushered them outside and went to work locking the front door. Then she knocked on the door 3 times, as she had the day before. But this time she said, "We'll be back."
"Who are you talking to?" Sabrina asked.
"The house," Mrs. Grimm replied, as if this were a perfectly natural thing to do.
Daphne knocked on the door as well.
"Goodbye, dollhouse,"
she said, causing her sister to sigh and roll her eyes. As they turned to go to the car, Sabrina looked up and nearly stumbled. Mr. Canis wasn't upstairs. He was standing on the path with Elvis at his side. He returned her stare with a look of slight contempt. His gaze unnerved the girl, but no more than the realization that Mrs. Grimm had been talking to herself in her secret room.
"We're ready, Mr. Canis," Mrs. Grimm said, and he nodded.
They all climbed into the squeaky car, including Elvis, who laid his huge body across the girl's laps.
"Did you have a chat with our neighbor?" Mrs. Grimm asked Mr. Canis, as they all buckled or tied themselves in.
"We began a conversation," the old man grumbled, "but he can be stubborn."
"Well, he'll get used to it eventually, I suppose," Mrs. Grimm replied.
"He doesn't have a history of getting used to things," Mr. Canis said.
Mrs. Grimm sighed and nodded.
"Who are you talking about?" Daphne asked.
"Oh, just a neighbor. Nothing to worry about. You'll meet him soon enough."
Sabrina looked around. She was sure they were miles from the nearest neighbor. Mr. Canis fired up the engine, and the car rocked back and forth violently like a bucking bronco trying to get rid of a cowboy, calming down as they drove out the driveway and through desolate back roads. Sabrina re-examined Ferryport Landing, the world's most boring town. There was little obvious life, except an old dairy cow standing on the side of the road. Mrs. Grimm leaned over and honked, then waved wildly at the cow as they passed. When Daphne giggled about it, the old woman smiled and told her how important it was to be friendly. Meanwhile, Sabrina made the best of the trip by memorizing street names and calculating how long it would take to walk to the train station. They came to a mailbox with the name Appleby marked on it, and Mr. Canis turned the car down a long, leaf-covered driveway lined with ancient cedars, pines, and oaks. The car passed a tractor sitting alone on a little hill and pulled over into a clearing where a massive pile of wood and pipes and glass sat surrounded by yellow emergency tape. Mrs. Grimm looked at Mr. Canis and smiled.
"Well, we haven't had to deal with something like this in a while, have we, Mr. Canis?" she asked.
The old man shook his head and helped her out of the car. Once she got on her feet, Mrs. Grimm opened the back door, reached in, and scratched Elvis behind the ears.
"Girls, do you mind if I borrow my boyfriend for a moment?" she asked, as she winked at Daphne.
The Great Dane crawled clumsily out of the car, stretched a little, and looked up at the old woman for instructions. She fumbled in her purse and took out a small piece of fabric that she held under the dog's nose. He sniffed it deeply, then rushed over to the huge pile of debris and began hunting through the rubble. What are we doing here? Sabrina asked.
We're investigating a crime, naturally, Mrs. Grimm said.
Are you a police officer or something? Asked Daphne.
Or something, the old woman said with a grin. Why don't you get out and take a look around?
She walked away, apparently to snoop through the rubble. Having a 200-pound dog lie in her lap had given Sabrina a Charlie horse, so she and Daphne decided to get out and stretch their legs.
She talks to the house and cows and has all these crazy rules. Now she thinks she's Sherlock Holmes, Sabrina muttered.
Maybe it's a game, Daphne said. I'm going to be a detective, too. I'm going to be Scooby-Doo.
Despite all of Sabrina's warnings, Daphne seemed to be having fun, something she hadn't had in nearly a year and a half. It was nice to see a smile on her sister's face and that old light in her eyes. It was the same look she used to have when their father would read them the Sunday comics, or when their mother would let them invade her closet to play dress-up. Sabrina smiled and put her arm around the little girl's shoulders. She'd let her have her fun. Who knew how long it would last? Just then, a long white limousine pulled into the clearing. It was bright and shiny with white wall tires and a silver horse for a hood ornament. It parked next to Mrs. Grimm's car, and a little man got out of the driver's side. He couldn't have been more than 3 feet high. In fact, he was no taller than Daphne. He had a big, bulbous nose and a pot belly that the buttons of his black suit struggled to contain. But the most unusual thing about the man wasn't his size or his clothing. It was the pointy paper hat he wore on his head that read, "I am an idiot." He rushed as quickly as he could to the other side of the car, opened the back passenger door, and was met with a barrage of insults from a man inside.
"Mr. Seven, sometime today," the man bellowed in an English accent. "Do you think I want to sit in this muggy car all afternoon, waiting for you to find time to open the door? You know, when you came to me for a job, I happily gave you one, but every day you make me regret it."
A tall man in a purple suit exited the limousine and looked around. He had a strong jaw, deep blue eyes, and shiny black hair. He was probably the best-looking man Sabrina had ever seen, and her heart began to race. That was, until he opened his mouth again.
"What is this? Heads are going to roll, Mr. Seven," the man fumed as he looked around.
"Yes, sir," Mr. Seven answered.
"I was told that this was taken care of last night. It's just lucky that I realize that everyone who works for me is an incompetent boob, or we would never have known this was still out here until it was too late. My goodness, look at that rubbish sitting there in broad daylight. What do the three think I pay them for? I can't have this nonsense going on right now. Doesn't everyone realize that the ball is tomorrow? Heads are going to roll, Mr. Seven."
The little man nodded in agreement. His boss looked down at Sabrina and Daphne and scowled.
"Look, the tourists are already here, and they're leaving their filthy children unsupervised. They are children, right, Mr. Seven? Not just a couple more of your kind."
Mr. Seven's dunce cap had slid down over his eyes. He lifted it and gazed at the two girls.
"They're children, sir."
"The way they are dressed, you would think they were circus folk. You worked in the circus for some time, didn't you, Mr. Seven?"
The little man nodded.
"Why, there ought to be a law about unsupervised children. This is a crime scene, and it's crawling with kids. Mr. Seven, let's make that a law, if that isn't too much trouble," the man continued.
"No trouble at all, sir," said Mr. Seven, as he took a spiral-bound pad and a pen from his jacket pocket and furiously jotted down his boss's instructions.
"See how easy it is to be a team player, Mr. Seven? I like your change of attitude. If you keep this up, we might be able to get rid of that hat," the man said.
"That would please me, sir."
"Let's not rush things, Mr. Seven. After all, you still haven't given these children my card, which is incredibly frustrating, especially since we discussed this just last night. What did I tell you, man?"
"Give everyone your card. It's good networking."
"Indeed, it is,"
the man replied, tapping his toe impatiently.
"So sorry, Mr. Charming, sir," Mr. Seven said, as he rushed to the girls and shoved a business card into each of their hands. It was purple, with a golden crown on one side and the words, "Mayor William Charming, here to lead you," written on it in gold lettering. Underneath the name were a telephone number, an email address, and a website, www.mayorcharming.com.
"Now, what was I saying before I had to tell you how to do your job, Mr. Seven?"
But before the little man could answer, Sabrina stepped forward. If there was one thing she couldn't stand, it was a bully.
"You were saying there ought to be a law against unsupervised children," Sabrina said angrily. "There should be a law against talking to people like they are morons, too."
"Yes, that's correct. See, Seven, if this carnival girl can pay attention to the conversation, why can't you? Why, she can't be more than 8 years old, and certainly slow in the head," Mayor Charming said.
"I'm almost 12, Sabrina shouted, "and I'm not slow."
Mayor Charming seemed startled by her anger.
"Where are your parents, child?" he snapped.
"We're here with our grandmother," Daphne answered. Sabrina spun around on her sister angrily. The old lunatic was not their grandmother.
"How splendid for you," Mayor Charming sneered. "And who is your grandmother?"
Daphne pointed to Mrs. Grimm, who was busy taking notes on a little pad of paper.
"Relda Grimm is your grandmother?" the mayor growled between gritted teeth. "When will this cursed family die out? You're like a swarm of cockroaches."
Mrs. Grimm looked over, saw Mayor Charming, and quickly came to join them.
"Relda Grimm, I just met your granddaughters," the mayor said, as his face changed from a scowl to a smile. "They're the spitting image of their grandfather."
He bent over and pinched Daphne on the cheek.
"Hopefully they'll grow out of it," he muttered.
"Mayor Charming, what brings you all the way out here? I thought you'd be busy planning the fundraiser. It's in a couple of days, correct?" said Mrs. Grimm with a forced smile.
"It is not a fundraiser," Charming insisted. "It's a ball, and it is tomorrow night. But you know how the community is. If I don't investigate every little stray cloud, the flock gets nervous. But then again, I could ask you the same question. What is the famous Relda Grimm doing in the middle of nowhere, looking at a broken house?"
He was right. It was a house that had fallen down. Sabrina saw pieces of furniture and clothing sticking out of the pile, and an old Afghan quilt swinging from a stick in the breeze.
"I don't know what the farmer expected with such shoddy workmanship. He's lucky to have crawled out alive," he continued.
"So there was a survivor," Mrs. Grimm said, writing in her notebook.
"Here she goes, Mr. Seven. You can almost see the wheels spinning in her head. Relda Grimm, private eye, out to solve the case that never was," the mayor said.
"See, that's the problem with you Grimms. You could never quite grasp that in order to solve a mystery, there must be a mystery to solve. A farmer built a flimsy house and it fell down. It was an accident, case closed."
"Then why did you call it a crime scene?" Sabrina piped up. Charming turned and gave her a look that could have burned a hole through her.
"You must have misheard me, child," he said between gritted teeth. "Mr. Seven, take down this note, please. New law, children should not ask questions of their elders."
As the little man scribbled furiously in his notebook, Mrs. Grimm said,
"We both know why we're here, Mayor."
Charming's face turned red. He tugged on his necktie and adjusted his collar.
"This is none of your concern, Relda."
Before the old woman could respond, Mr. Canis joined the group.
"Well, if it isn't the big bad..."
"Mayor Charming,"
said Mrs. Grimm angrily.
"Oh, I'm sorry. I heard you were going by Canis now."
Charming grinned and leaned in close to Sabrina and Daphne. "Do yourselves a favor, girls, and check Granny's teeth before you give her a good night kiss."
"Do you think it wise to provoke me?"
Mr. Canis said as he took a step toward the mayor. Despite Mr. Canis's quiet demeanor, the words seemed to unnerve Charming.
"That's enough," Mrs. Grimm demanded. Her voice shocked the girls, but the effect on the two grown men was even more startling. They backed away from each other like two schoolboys who had been scolded by a teacher.
"The dog has found something," Mr. Canis said gruffly. He placed an enormous green leaf in Mrs. Grimm's hand, and her eyes lit up in satisfaction.
"Well, look at that, Mayor Charming. I think we've found a clue. There might be a mystery to solve here yet," she said, waving the leaf in the mayor's angry face.
"Congratulations! You found a leaf in the middle of all these trees," Charming scoffed. "I bet if you could bring out the forensics team, you might find a twig or even an acorn."
"It looks a lot like a leaf from a beanstalk," the old woman replied.
Charming rolled his eyes.
"That proves nothing." "Maybe, maybe not. But it does seem odd that a fresh green leaf is out here in late November," Mrs. Grimm said.
Sabrina looked around at the trees. Every limb was bare.
"Listen, Relda, stop meddling in our affairs, or you're going to regret it," said the mayor. "If you don't want me meddling, then you must really do a better job of covering up your mistakes."
Mrs. Grimm placed the leaf inside her handbag.
The mayor scoffed and then turned to Mr. Seven.
"Get the door, you lumpy bag of foolishness," he shouted.
The little man nearly lost his paper hat as he rushed to the car door. Within moments, the limo was spitting gravel behind it as it drove away.
"Girls, why don't we take a walk over to that hill and sit by the tractor? I'd like to see this sight from above," Mrs. Grimm said.
Daphne took the old woman's hand and helped her up a sloped embankment where a lonely tractor was parked. When they reached the top, the old woman plopped on the ground and caught her breath.
"Thank you, Liebling. Either the hills are getting steeper or I'm getting older."
"Who was that man?" Daphne asked.
"Let's just say he's a royal pain," Mrs. Grimm replied. "Mr. Charming is the mayor of Fairyport Landing."
"What's with the bad attitude?" Sabrina said.
The mayor reminded her of the orphanage's lunch lady, who seemed to delight in telling the children they were getting fat.
"He gets a little territorial sometimes."
"He and Mr. Canis sure don't like each other," Daphne added.
"They have a long history," the old woman said. She picked a small black disc off the ground.
"How interesting."
She happily jotted down a note in her notebook. "A lens cap from what looks like a very expensive video camera."
"Maybe it's just junk or something the farmer lost," Daphne said.
"Maybe. Or maybe whoever is responsible for all that damage wanted a record."
Mrs. Grimm tossed the lens cap into her handbag.
Just then, a white van with the words "Action Foreign News" painted on the side pulled up. The doors swung open, and a cameraman and a pretty reporter in a business suit jumped out. The reporter checked her hair in a compact mirror as the cameraman handed her a microphone. They eyed the pile of lumber and brick and then spotted the girls and the old woman sitting on the hill. In no time, they were standing before them.
"Hello, ladies, I'm Wilma Fay from Action Foreign News," the reporter said, as she shoved her microphone in Mrs. Grimm's face. "We were wondering if you might be able to tell us what happened here."
"Oh, dear. Am I on television?" the old woman asked.
"You will be," the reporter replied. "Tell our audience what you witnessed."
"Oh, we didn't see anything, I'm afraid," said Mrs. Grimm.
"We only just got here."
The reporter groaned and the cameraman lowered his camera.
"This is just great," Wilma Fay complained. 5 years of journalism school, graduating with honors and at the top of my class, and I'm out here in Fairyport Landing in the cold covering a house that collapsed."
"I'll get some shots of the damage,"
the cameraman said as he hoisted his heavy video camera back onto his shoulder and walked down the hill to the rubble.
"Good idea," the reporter replied. "Let's get out of here as soon as possible."
"Sorry I couldn't be of any help," said Mrs. Grimm.
"Oh, it's not your fault. I just keep getting sent out to this town where there isn't any news."
Yes, unfortunately, there's not a lot of excitement in Ferryport Landing, the old woman agreed. Wilma Fay nodded and headed back to the van. When the news crew had left, Mrs. Grimm removed the large green leaf and an odd little box covered in knobs and lights from her handbag. She placed the leaf on the ground, then pushed a red button on top of the box and waved it over the leaf. "What are you doing?" Daphne asked. "I'm analyzing it. Very scientific stuff," the old woman said, just as the machine let out a loud honking sound that could only be described as a fart. "Just as I thought. It's from a giant beanstalk." "There's no such thing as giant beanstalks," Daphne giggled. Mrs. Grimm pointed at the clearing below. "What do you see?" "A house that fell down," the little girl suggested. "Yes, but what else? What is surrounding the house?" Sabrina focused her attention on the rubble. What was so unusual about it? Nothing, really, except maybe for the large area of sunken ground that surrounded it. "The earth is mashed around it," she said. "And what could cause something like that to happen?" "I don't know. What do you think?" Sabrina said, after running through the possibilities. "I think a giant stepped on it," Mrs. Grimm answered. "Find a giant beanstalk leaf, and you'll probably find a giant." Daphne began to laugh, but Sabrina was horrified. The old woman was getting crazier by the second. "Well, I better go down and have a second look," the old woman said as she climbed to her feet. She walked back down the hill and joined Mr. Canis at the pile. "She's funny," Daphne giggled. Funny in the head, Sabrina thought. "I want to ride on the tractor," Daphne cried. She jumped up and pulled her sister over to it. Sabrina lifted the little girl onto the seat, who then grabbed the wheel and turned it, making vroom, vroom sounds as she pretended to drive.
"Look at me, I'm a farmer," she said in a goofy voice.
Sabrina looked up at her sister and laughed. Daphne was the funniest person she had ever met.
"What kind of food do you grow on this here farm, Farmer Grimm?" the older girl played along.
"Why, I grow candy on this here farm," Daphne laughed. "Bushels and bushels of candy. Just sent my crop to market last week. Got me a pretty penny, I did."
Sabrina smiled, but then a shadow covered her heart. Why did the old lady have to lie about who she was? Why did she have to make up crazy stories? Why couldn't she be normal? Her house was warm and comfortable, and as long as Sabrina kept an eye on Mr. Canis, they might just be okay. If the old woman wasn't a lunatic, she'd make a perfect grandmother.
"Sabrina, look at the house," Daphne whispered.
She had stopped playing and was staring at the pile below. Sabrina looked down at the clearing but saw nothing new.
"Do you see what I see?"
Daphne cried, pointing.
"What? What do you see?" "Come up here. You have to see it from up here."
Sabrina crawled up onto the tractor and stood high on its hood.
"Do you see it?"
And then Sabrina saw what her sister was so excited about, and her heart leaped into her throat. The indentation surrounding the broken-down house had a shape.
"It's a footprint," she gasped.